turn with me this morning to the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. Come here this morning, just take a few thoughts here. The Apostle Paul here, it seemed like in the first book of Corinthians especially, seemed like they had a little problem with things offered to idols. It almost seemed like a never-ending thing. He just kept on preaching about things that offered to idols. And kept emphasizing that it really isn't whether you eat things offered to idols or whether you eat not things offered to idols. Doesn't really make any difference. He talks here about judging. Now, the problem with judging is that we most often judge by our own principles. How we were raised, what church we went to, and what kind of traditions we had. And all these things we judge by human nature. But if the principles that are set forth by God, all we have to do is go back to the law. And if we study that law and we judge by the principles set forth in the law, it would be good. It'd be a good, perfect judgment. If we could lay all these other things aside. I'm going to read a little here this morning. It said, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." If it isn't something that's set forth, that's plain in law, or in, we might say, in the Bible. If it isn't those things that we can judge by the very Word of God, then maybe we ought not judge them at all. Maybe we ought to let them alone. One thing I think of readily is the Pentecost people. A couple of things they judge by. If you can't get emotional enough to have a bunch of gibberish, then you don't have spirit. Or the women want to all roll their hair up a certain way. And they say that's because they are a peculiar people. I don't think I ought to judge you on how you comb your hair. Or any of these beggarly elements. We need to lay those things aside. He said, "For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs." I told y'all before, this just kind of jesting here. Eat the fatted calf. We in the land of milk and honey. Nothing wrong with that. But he might not. We might not, though, if we judge properly, we'd say best thing to eat is manna from heaven. Then you really eat. He said, "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let him not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to make him stand. He said, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth one day, every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. What he's saying here is, judge yourself. How else can you be persuaded in your own mind unless you judge yourself? And how do you do that? By the principles set forth in the gospel. Nothing else. We being human, still in this old fleshly body, oftentimes though do judge those things that are immature. Hang on every little word. Worry about every little thing. You know what it is? It's being, most of it is being puffed up. You do as I do. But you better be careful. Better be careful and judge yourself first. He said, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth it not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord. For he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Whatsoever you do, do it unto the Lord. We're in season where I've heard it talked about, I guess almost all my life, is whether we ought to decorate or we ought not decorate. Well, I'm going to do this just like I'm going to do the voting deal. If you want to decorate, decorate. You do it at your own house. 11th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul was talking about them taking communion. And of course, they was doing it all wrong. And some of them was puffed up because they had something, and they would say to the others, well, the reason you don't have it is that God didn't give it to you, wasn't doing right. That's what the good brothers told Job. They said, the reason all this has come up on you is because you're not doing right. But how were they judging? But Paul told them, he said, you got this stuff to eat, don't you? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? So if you'd like to decorate, decorate. I don't much like to myself, but my wife has me sometime heffing. You see? But listen, those beggarly elements are nothing. Nothing in worth. I mean, they're absolutely just worth nothing. If you can see any semblance of God in any of that you do, it's all right. If you can't, you can let it alone. But do we judge one another because I don't like the way you walk, and I don't like the way you look? Not hardly. He said, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. So whether we live or we live unto the Lord, we die. If we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Said, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I'm going to go back and tell you this one more time. And judge yourself by the proper principles. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. He said, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. He said, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Whether he got a forked hoof or he hadn't. He said, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. I said they had a problem. The early church had a problem because they were still sacrificing animals at that age. The new age hadn't really set in. And it was offensive to some. And others, if they be well versed and have the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ in proper respect, wasn't anything to them to eat that meat. It's just more meat. He said, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Oh, if it's offensive and you know it, don't do it. Apostle Paul made this statement. He said, if it offends my brother, I just won't eat any milk meat at all. But we in our day ought to be more versed than that. Eat fatty calf. He said, for the kingdom of God, Paul's quoted this many times, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We won't read any further in this. But last week I kind of wondered one more time. We had some conversation about what if the Lord left those evil things in the world until their proper day. And the answer to that, Paul said, was that he might show his great power. Well, there's a flip side to that. He said, when you think about it a little bit, when the Lord brings a man into the kingdom, he's convicted. He's convinced. He's a new creature. Why in the Lord just take him on out of this earth? It's the same thing. But no, he's going to leave him here until the proper day. Why is that? Go back to verse 7. He said, none, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And then in verse 8, he said, for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, die, we are the Lord. And I'd like to take just the first part of verse 8. He said, for whether we live. What is living? It's being prepared. For a child of God, it's being prepared. It's preparation to enter in to that kingdom when it is established anew. Oh, we just all of a sudden, bam, Christ, Lord, took man out of this world. He wouldn't be cured. What is he? Salt of the earth. He has to go through a curing process. He has to live. We used to, when I was a boy, Paul and I were boys, we'd go down the woods. We'd pick us out a good oak tree. We'd want to get us one, you know, like this, with some good straight bark on it. Cut that thing down, and we'd cut it up. And we'd split it. Make oak posts. Well, unless we just had to have it right then, we didn't go just put that thing in the ground. We'd tear it and stack it up and cure it. Let it season until it was right to use. And that's what living in this world is to the people of God. It's a seasoning and a curing and getting ready, preparing. And we learn day by day. And we're renewed day by day. That we might be seasoned. That we might be the salt of the earth. That we might be a light unto others. That we might grow up. And we wouldn't be one of those that are weak. But that we'd be full grown. We'd be brought to the very seasoning of the soul and being prepared for that day when the Lord comes back. And that's what living is. Whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, die, it's unto the Lord. Go back one more time. Judge yourself. We better judge ourselves. We better not be puffed up. We better not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We ought to be looking at self and not judging our brother in these beggarly things.
I guess the 14th chapter of Romans is one of the most difficult passages of Scripture in the New Testament to understand or to get a proper understanding of. Well, can I? Can't I? Can I? Can I? You know, it goes back and forth, and the argument always is, well, you know, is Paul teaching there that just anything goes? No, he's not teaching just anything goes. One thing we need to understand about this thing of offenses, giving offenses, is talking about real offenses. is not talking about somebody that wears a chip on their shoulder all the time or going around daring somebody to knock it off and getting offended at every little thing that comes on. It's talking about spiritual offenses, things that would lead people astray and cause them to doubt the Word of God and the truth of God's Word, and even doubt God Himself. But charity, true Christian love, you see, and this is really, I think, what Paul's getting at, true Christian love will overcome all of that. You know, we don't have to have laws, do we? My Bible says that the law was made for who? Yeah, for the lawless. But if we're God's people, we're not lawless. We're just not lawless. That's all there is to it. We are God-fearing, God-honoring, God-praising, and God-glorifying. And yes, we still have this flesh and blood, don't we? And every one of us are crying. Every child of God, I don't care who he is, I don't care how weak he may appear to be or how strong he may appear to be, he's still crying, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he is looking and expecting for God, and sometimes God does it through his people, doesn't he? And he sure does it through the ministration of the Word. But every child of God is looking for God to deliver him from sin. And he will tolerate a lot of things. He will tolerate a lot of rebuke, reproof, and correction. And, you know, I've always contended that God's people, true people, will tolerate even a great deal of injustice. For instance, my Bible says that if a man's brother defraud him, we ought to take it rather than go to law with the unjust. That's pretty hard too, isn't it? My Bible says if they compel you to go 1 mile, to go with them twice, two times that long far. And if they require of you your cloak, give them your coat also. God's people will endure much of these injustices for the sake of the peace, and especially that is especially so in the church itself. But right is still right, isn't it? Righteousness is still righteousness, and we cannot get away from it, and we dare not think that God is going to tolerate our rebellion against the truth of his word.